Good morning. I'll be reading Psalms 100 from the New King James Version. Psalms 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
It's truly an honor, a blessing to be able to be here on this morning as we come worshiping God in spirit and in truth, doing our level best to adorn the doctrine of God this month, as we have been talking about that all month and will continue for the next few weeks. When we consider some of the great treasures of God's Word, as I was pondering some things to consider for us on this week, caused me to think about the psalmist and how the psalmist had a desire to really please God, and it was about making God look good, if you will. And so it caused me to consider Psalm 100 and appreciate Brother Mark as he read that very authoritatively. We appreciate that. And when we consider the beautiful words of God, I want us to be thinking about Psalm 100. We'll be looking in the Psalms a lot on this morning. Hopefully, it shouldn't take us that long to consider some of the great thoughts that will help us navigate through the world that we live in. And make no mistake about it, friends, we're navigating. And so we need all of the admonition that we can have and get in order to make it through the things that we're dealing with. When you think about so many proper things in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100 has a lot to offer. In verse number 1, you see the proper invitation. The proper invitation. Here, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Notice who he is inviting. Everyone. All ye lands. Everybody is invited to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Unfortunately, many are getting away from that. But we also see the proper attitude. Serve the Lord with gladness. This is for us. We ought to have a glad heart as we are here to serve God, to remember our Lord and Savior's death till he returns, to encourage one another, come before his presence with singing. Notice the proper presence. Come before his presence. A lot of times we are concerned about each other's presence. No, we need to be concerned about his presence. Come before his presence, notice, with singing. And this is what we just engaged in a few minutes ago as it relates to singing to God. And when we consider that, we are pouring our hearts out unto the Lord, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, Colossians 3, verse 16, as we're singing to God, we are singing before his presence. Let us never forget who we are coming before. Again, not one another, but to God himself. But we also consider the proper acknowledgement. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We consider these great psalms. He says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. But notice what he says. We are his people. The proper people. Friends, are we the proper people? Here we understand that we are the people of God and we have not made ourselves. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're inside of his flock. We are his flock. And we ought to keep that in mind as we are considering the great words of the psalmist and how we ourselves
are adorning the gospel, the doctrine of Almighty God. But notice what he goes on to say, the proper entrance. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I wish I had time to talk about those gates, gates of righteousness, Psalm 118, verses 19 through 21. But we enter with thanksgiving, and that's in verse number 4. And when we consider this, notice, and into his courts with praise, be thankful to him and bless his name, the proper thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse number 18, in everything, give thanks. Everything? Everything. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God wants us to be a thankful people. Should we be thankful for what's going on around us? I guess we must be thankful. Why? God said so. Be thankful. Here we understand that the psalmist was very thankful. And we ought to be thankful as well. But notice verse number 5, the proper trifecta. You think about this idea of threes. The Lord is good, number 1. And he still is good. Psalm 73 in verse number 1, the psalmist, I believe it was Asaph there, he said, truly God is good to Israel. He's still good to us. Even in the midst of things that goes on in our lives, whether in our control or out of our control, God is still good. His mercy is everlasting. That's the second thing. Praise God for his mercy, because it is through his mercy he saves us. Titus 3, verse 4 and 5. And his truth endures to all generations. I pondered that a little bit this week. And the beauty of God, who gave his truth in the beginning, still allows his truth to permeate even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We can still navigate our lives with the truth of Almighty God. Friends, Psalm 100 is so perfect. It's so powerful for us. It gives us reasons to adorn the doctrine of God. And so with that being said, I want us to consider some ideas, some words, some thoughts that will encourage us, help us, strengthen us, embolden us to be the people that God will have us to be all of the time. It's a struggle out here sometimes. Well, how can we adorn the truth together? I want us to turn our scriptures to Psalm 99, just one division back. When we consider adorning the truth together, we must do that by acknowledging the holiness of God. God is holy. Here, the psalmist says some things that are worthy of our consideration. That God is set apart. He's not like others. He's not like the deities of the world, if we can even say that. For the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 4, an idol is nothing. An idol is nothing. Yet we have people who are honoring gods that are no gods at all. And here the psalmist understood that God is holy on three separate occasions. Verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9, we see that the psalmist says God is holy. Let's look at some of these things. Verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Brother Jerry, I wish more people trembled at the word of God. I wish many trembled at the word of God. We have many who are not even concerned with the word of God. He said, let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubims. That's the idea of communing. God would commune with Moshe, with Moses in Exodus 25 and verse number 22. God would commune with Moses so Moses could relate the message of God to the people. Let the earth be moved. Thought about the storm this morning, the thunder and the lightning, and I was sitting at the table and the house was shaking. I'm like, made me think about Psalm 99, power of God. You remember when God was speaking and how when he spoke, the earth trembled, mountains trembled, and the people of said, no, Moses, you talk to God, and We're afraid. We need more people trembling at the word of God today. Let the Lord is great in Zion, in Jerusalem, Jebus, the city of David, and he is high above all people. He's still high above all the people. In the midst of all of the chaos and confusion, he is still high. And we as the people of God, the Lord's people, the church of Christ, adorn God, adorn the doctrine of God by living that high life in front of people. We should have a high sense of morality that God is to be honored and praised and glorified in my life being holy. Why? He's holy. Let them praise your great name. An awesome name. He is holy. The idea of astonishment, to be in awe, inspired because of the reverence we have for God. But verses 4 and 5, notice the king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Israel, Jacob. God is all about order. He's all about law. He's all about executing justice, even though many don't want that today. God is still on the throne. He still desires the execution of justice and law and equity. He still desires that. Why? Because he's holy. He's set apart. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. That's what we're doing. At least that's what we're attempting. He's holy. The psalmist understood that, and we adorn the doctrine of God when we understand that. That God is holy, he's set apart, he's different, he's not like any other. I have to constantly remind myself of that. Brother Daniel, I have to constantly remind myself that God is holy, and in order for me to stay in identification with God and in communication and communion with God, I have to be holy even as he is holy. God is holy. I can't back down from that. I can't move away from that. I can't compromise that. God is holy. But verse number 6 through 9, Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, God answers the holy. He answers those who are walking with him. He answers the upright. His face is against those who do evil. Why? God is holy. He wants to hear from his people. Priests, judges, prophets, those who love the Lord, called upon God. These passages are very striking. They prick the heart because it should cause us to ask ourselves, how often are we calling upon God? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we understand that God being our mediator, verse 5, we're to be praying and supplicating, giving thanks for all men, those who are in authority. Friends, God is holy. He wants us to be praying for those who are in powers, if you will. It's hard, it's difficult, yet it has to be done. Chad, we get frustrated sometimes, but we still have to honor God by praying to our God because of our nation. Look at the text here. He said he spoke to them in the cloudy pillars. They kept his testimonies and the ordinances he gave them. Why? Because they were holy. They honored God. They glorified God. He said, you answered them. Watch this. You answered them, O Lord, our God, you were to them God who forgives. The word forgive there comes from the Hebrew word nasa. Nasa. Literally in the Hebrew, lifts up. God, you lift up. You lift up sin. You get rid of their sin. You don't want their sin to be upon them, so you forgive them of it. Nasa. Psalm 32, verse 1, Psalm 116, verse 13, Psalm 119, 48, Psalm 121, verse 1, Nasa. God, you are the one who is almighty. You're all strength. You forgive. It takes strength to forgive. I see why people hold grudges. because it takes strength to do that. God who forgives. He said, though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God, watch it. You're sacred. You're set apart. You're holy. The more I considered this and thought about this, the more I realized how much work I have to do. Friends, it's okay though. God is merciful. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. That's why we have to stay close to him. Because if we don't, we'll have ourselves in trouble. We stop and we consider, if you look at the text on the board, on the screen, Psalm 63, put that in your notes. We're not going to look at that for time's sake. You'll be glad that you did. Because it's about telling people about God. How do we adorn the doctrine of God? We adorn the doctrine of God by telling people about the God of heaven and not being afraid nor ashamed, as Paul would say in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the glad tidings. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross, being a curse for us, Galatians 3. I'm not ashamed of that. Seeking, singing, honoring God. Friends, there's so much we can say and so much we can do with those passages. How else? By praying with each other for our nation, as we discussed earlier. Look at Psalm 43. How do we adorn the doctrine? How do we make God look good? How do we honor God? How to pay attention to God. You got to pay attention to him. He's not far from us, as Acts 17 demonstrates, but he is very detailed. And he wants us to pay attention. So how do we adorn God together? How do we adorn the truth together? By praying with one another for our nation. Listen to the psalmist here. Ask yourself, do you identify? Do you feel what he is saying? Can you see what he is saying? He says, vindicate me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. I have a little note in my Bible. It says they had those there too at that time. They existed then too. Ungodly men existed then. They exist now. Here he wanted to be delivered from them. Again, do we pray like this? Do we think like this? Do we ask God to deliver us from these type of people? For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? There is an enemy of the state. There's an enemy of the church, of morality. Here, the psalmist prays to God in time of distress and trouble. Oh, send out your light, put Psalm 119, 105 right there, and your truth, John 17:17. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, talking about his light, the truth. Let them be my guide. Friends, Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, either the word of God is guiding us or our own understanding. So you stop and you consider some of the things that he's saying here in the midst of a crooked nation. We still have to allow the light and the truth to guide us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us to be the salt of the earth. These are basic ideas that the psalmist is bringing out, that the Bible demonstrates for us, that helps us to think clear in the midst of a cloudy world. He says, then I will go to the altar of God. To God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You consider those words. They ought to encourage us. They ought to help us to realize that we need God. And we need to be focused on God, even in the midst of a nation that is in trouble. And make no mistake about it, friends, it is. However, God is still on the throne. He's still reigning, still allowing us to benefit from the remnants of truth. And the remnants of the restoration movement of the 1800s was still benefiting from that right now, still benefiting from gospel teaching and preaching, still benefiting from Christians that still love God and still are going out, demonstrating righteousness in their lives. So we talk about those who adorn the doctrine, not just us. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we come across Samuel in verse number 19, and there the Bible demonstrates that he did not allow the word of God to fall to the ground. You ponder that. You think about that, friends. God's word, though weighty, Samuel would not allow it to be despised. He didn't allow it to hit the ground. He didn't allow it to not be effective in his life. He manned his post. He took care of his responsibility. He would not allow the word of God to fall down on his shift, if you will. Stop and you consider great men like Samuel, great women like the widow during Elijah's time, who did not allow the word of God to fall down. She adorned the doctrine of God. She had faith. She trusted not only Elijah, but she trusted God. And I have something right here. She had everything to lose and nothing to lose at the same time. Friends, did you hear that? Brothers and sisters in Christ, she had everything to lose, yet nothing to lose at the same time. What a great juxtaposition to be in. To have everything to lose, but have nothing to lose. And the Bible demonstrates to us that that widow, even though her son died, Elijah came back, raised her son up. God took care of her. Friends, God takes care of his people. We adorn the doctrine of God by continuing to trust in God. We don't back up. We don't go back. We don't turn back. We're not turncoats. No, we stay with God. And the reason why is because that's what we do. We're like Josiah, who had determination and dedication, which was unparalleled and seen in the keeping of the Passover. Unparalleled. Never before has a Passover been kept like it was in the days of Josiah. Why? Because he believed the word of God. He adorned the doctrine of God. He loved God. Our worship ought to be holy. We don't come here to play around. We don't come here for a show. We don't come here to make us look good. Brother Hall, we come here to glorify God. And when we do that, those who are on the outside, those who may not be members of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, they say, this is serious. This is no show. This is not glamour and lights going on. This is people who love God. You could tell. We're not playing here. Josiah kept a Passover that was unparalleled. And the Bible says that had not a Passover been kept before that like that. Then you think of men like Ezra. And notice, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. When you think of men like Ezra, in Isaiah 66, verse number 1 and 2, Ezra and the people, they trembled at the word of God. Ezra 9, verse 1 through 4. But I want us to read this for time's sake. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, and it still is. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look. Now watch this. On him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. Brother Cheek, there are not too many people trembling at God's word today. As a matter of fact, they're shaking a fist of rebellion in the face of God. We have a community in our land that could care less about God. We even have brethren today who are compromising with those who could care less about God. Friends, we got to tremble at the word of God. And in Ezra 9 verses 1 and 4, they trembled at the word of God and they did what God wanted them to do. They separated themselves from them foreign wives. Why? Because they were not obligated. They were not commanded, rather, to be with them. How do we adorn the gospel, the doctrine of God, by trembling at it? It is so important. It should burn us up when people want to go to the left of the word of God or to the right of the word of God. No, we want to stay with the word of God. Well, I like to take liberties here and I like to be ultra conservative here. No, let's just stay with what God's word says. Let's not go to the left. Let's not go to the right. Let's just stay with what God's word says. And when we consider the proper interpretation will lead to the proper application, and with the proper application will lead to a holy lifestyle. And so Ezra, he trembled, and the people, they trembled at the word of God. It meant something to them. Question, how much does God's word mean to you? It should mean a lot to us. It meant a lot to Paul. He adorned the doctrine of God by his preaching. One thing that bugs me to no end is when a man gets up to preaching, he don't know what he's talking about. He's apologizing for the word of God, making references that are secular about the word of God. Friends, the word of God is the mind of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's what helps us and strengthens us, encourages us to be the people that God would have us to be. It's a fire that burns within us, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Friends, what's burning in us? Too many people are burning up, but they're not burning with the word of God. Paul said, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Why, Paul? Because the gospel is power. It's all we have. That gospel is the gospel of salvation. And that's why we preach it. And that's why we ought to live it. And so I'm thankful to be amongst people, amongst men who love and adorn the doctrine of God here. Friends, if not, why not? Why not love the doctrine? We ought to adorn it. We ought to go out talking to people about it and telling people about it. You ought to come visit us at 9th and Main. I say this in all humility. All humility. Those who know me. But I made it my aim this week, every day, to tell somebody about KWOJ 102.5. Every day I made it my aim. Man, you need to listen to that. You listen to Christian radio? Yeah, here, put that on your list. I want them to do that. I want them to compare what they're listening to what we're putting out. We're not afraid. We're not ashamed. Friends, we ought to be adorning the doctrine that way too. Let's not be ashamed of it. We take the word of God seriously. We are to protect the pulpit. We believe in loving what is preached. We teach our families to do the same. Epaphroditus. Wish I had time to talk about him. Look at him real quick. We'll make time. Look at Philippians 2. Look at verse 25 through 30. We need more Epaphroditus's. Yes, people, who do you want to be like? I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Peter. I want to be like John. Philippians chapter 2. I want to be like Epaphroditus. Verse 25. Yet I can consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. Fellow worker, fellow soldier, sounds like Tychicus, doesn't it? Sounds just like Tychicus. A great man of God. You don't hear a lot about those type of guys, which means that you can work behind the scenes. Your name doesn't have to be on the billboard, doesn't have to be on the church van, doesn't have to be on the bulletin. Just do the work of the Lord, Hebrews 6, verse 10. God knows what we're doing. He says, but your messenger and the one who ministers to my needs. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Watch this, verse 27. For indeed he was sick, almost unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly. Why? That when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. Hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ. Now look at this, friends. For the work of Christ, he came close to death.
I don't mind being spent, do you? Our bodies don't belong to us, nohow. Once you've been baptized into Christ, you're a servant of God. You glorify God. Where in your body? Your body belongs to the Lord. That's why our bodies should not be used for sexual immorality. That's why we shouldn't be drinking and smoking and doing things of that nature that harms the body. Because now that I'm a Christian, my body belongs to God.
Here, Epaphroditus was so dedicated to God that because of the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life.
To talk like that in the 21st century would be suicidal thoughts.
Suicidal talk. But no, here, Epaphroditus understood that his life belonged to God.
Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3.
To supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Here, Epaphroditus made himself sick doing the will of God.
I love that about that man.
That's dedication. He adorned the doctrine of God. He put his life on the line. You hear athletes talk like that all the time. They put their body on the line for that play. You hear it all the time for a perishable crown, 1 Corinthians 9. But we do it for an imperishable crown.
We stop and we consider men like that. We ought to be doing likewise. What are some actions that adorn our God? Preaching. I can't say it enough. It's through the foolishness of preaching God saves those who believe. Preaching. We need more preaching. We need more preaching. Faith. Worshiping. We need more of this. More opportunities to come together. Men like the Hebrew boys who humiliated themselves. And yes, I said it right. You'll see it. It's up there. They humiliated themselves. Made themselves look bad, if you will. Bowing down to some golden statue that Nebuchadnezzar made? I dare not. That was their mentality. And as everybody had bowed down, you see these three Hebrew boys, and they're still standing. They humiliated themselves. They adorned the doctrine of God by not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. Friends, it's all right to look like a fool for Christ.
Y'all are those people. Y'all have heard it before. I don't have to repeat it. Y'all are those people. What? The only thing we're doing is keeping the commandment. The only thing we're doing is trying to be holy. The only thing we're doing is worshiping God.
So a few little points that I put that are not up there. Just, you know, what they probably would have said to them. Just bow down and don't cause any trouble. Just listen to the king and it won't last that long.
Once we bow down, we can get back to what we were doing. No, these men didn't concern themselves with their own lives. They adorn God.
So you stop and you consider, what actions adorn God? Honesty and humility. A heart without deceit, guile. I can go on and on and on. We stop and we consider some of these great things. We want to have the right heart. We really do. Actions that adorn God, that make God look good. We're so concerned about our reputation sometimes that we forget about the reputation of God. So what if people look at us a certain way? If we're doing what is right, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. As I close, We want to make amends for wrong. We want to make amends for wrongs. Take the wrong sometime. Why? Because when we adorn the doctrine of God, when we make God look good, one day, watch this, friends. He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, just a few things. I'll make you rule over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. If I need to be embarrassed for the Lord, fine. If adorning the doctrine of God will cause a little bit of discomfort and distress and a little bit of disquietness in my life, hope he gives us enough muster to do it, enough courage and faith to do it. Because if we can just do that, friends, we'll actually live somewhere that those who did not have that, and those who mocked it, and those who could care less about it, they won't live there. And that's the day we're looking forward to. Daniel, you looking forward to that day? I'm looking forward to that day. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be part of this. How? How do you become part of a congregation, a church, a movement, a family that's divine? You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have to believe that. You must be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and be buried in water for the remission of your sins. You must believe that Jesus Christ has a church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Paul said, Jesus told Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. And he gave him those keys and opened up the Lord's church in Acts chapter 2 to the Gentiles, and opened up the Lord's church in Acts 10 to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. And so Peter had the keys to the church. You can't have the Christ without the church, because they go hand in hand. So when you think about entering into this kingdom through much tribulation, we're going to enter into the kingdom. But into this kingdom, friends, you do it by obedience to the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be faithful even to death, and God will give you the crown of life. But maybe a child of God, you haven't been adorning the doctrine. You haven't been adorning the doctrine. Or maybe you have been adorning the doctrine. Keep it up. Let's continue to work together as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.